Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to really unpack a massive, just fast approaching shift in how we handle property ownership.
Right, the shift from physical to digital.
Exactly. I mean, we are talking about how the heaviest, most physical asset class on earth, real estate, is making this unprecedented leap from bricks and mortar to, well, highly fluid digital assets.
It really is a massive transition.
Yeah, it is. So to ground this conversation for you, the listener, we are looking at a single highly concentrated source today. It is a recent market announcement titled Ocel Gamma and the Dawn of Saudi Real Estate Tokenization.
Yeah, and it is a concise document, but I have to say, the implications buried within it are staggering.
Really staggering.
We are going to explore exactly why this specific test case, which is happening right now in Saudi Arabia, isn't just some localized tech update. It is potentially a blueprint for rewriting the rules of global real estate.
Right. And to really grasp why this matters to you, I want you to imagine just for a second that you're trying to sell a skyscraper.
Good luck with that.
Right. Just picture it.
Yeah.
You own this massive, gleaming tower of glass and steel right in the middle of a bustling financial district.
A prime piece of real estate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if you actually wanted to sell that thing, or even just sell a 10% equity stake to raise some capital, think about the absolute nightmare you are walking into.
It takes forever.
It does. You are looking at months of negotiations. You are hiring armies of lawyers, dealing with mountains of paperwork, escrow accounts, title searches.
And bleeding millions of dollars in transaction fees.
Millions before a single key even changes hands. I mean, that is the reality of traditional real estate. It is heavy, it is slow, and it is incredibly rigid.
Extremely rigid,
But
yes.
now imagine buying or selling a fraction of that exact same skyscraper as easily and as quickly as tapping an app on your phone to buy a share of stock.
Which completely changes the game.
It changes everything. That is what this Ocel Gamma announcement is actually about. It sounds like science fiction, but it is actively being built.
It is. We are standing right at the edge of a fundamental rewiring of financial infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because the concept of converting physical real estate into regulated digital units, what we call tokenization, is moving from these theoretical white papers into active government-backed deployment.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can really understand what Ocel Gamma is doing, we have to look at the mechanics of tokenization itself.
Right, the core technology.
Yeah. And I know you, the listener, are probably familiar with the basics of blockchain and digital tokens. But applying that to real estate, which is literally the most physical, tangible thing in the world, requires a totally different mental model.
It requires a massive shift in how you think about ownership.
Totally. When I was trying to visualize the exact problem this solves, I kept coming back to this idea of a boulder. Traditional real estate is basically a giant, immovable boulder.
I like that analogy.
Thanks. I mean,
Yeah.
if you need a little bit of liquidity, you can't just chip off a piece of the boulder and hand it to a bank.
Right. You either sell the whole boulder or you sell none of it.
Exactly. It is completely illiquid. So tokenization is essentially a magical mechanism for, well, breaking that boulder into a million pebbles that anyone can carry in their pocket.
That is the precise utility. You are taking a historically illiquid asset class and injecting it with the kind of high-speed liquidity we usually only see in public equities or currency markets.
Which is wild.
It is. By placing the representation of that asset on a blockchain, you enable fractional ownership at scale.
Which sounds incredibly efficient.
Yeah.
But here is my pushback, and I think this is where the rubber meets the road for anyone listening.
Let's hear it.
How does a digital token, which is ultimately just a string of cryptographic code on a decentralized ledger, actually guarantee that you own a piece of a physical real-world building?
Ah, the legal connection.
Right. Let's say the blockchain says, I own a luxury apartment in Riyadh, but the guy actually living inside the apartment changes the physical locks on the door.
Okay,
A piece of code on a network cannot physically evict him.
yeah.
So how is this not just, an elaborate digital illusion?
That is an excellent pushback. And it strikes at the very heart of what makes this specific announcement so critical.
Because it is a real issue.
Exactly. The source explicitly focuses on RWA. That stands for real world assets.
Real world assets. Okay.
Yes, this is the crucial bridge between the cryptographic world and the physical legal system. We are not talking about arbitrary digital tokens like a meme coin that just rely on network consensus for their value.
Right. It's not just internet money.
Exactly. The tokens Ocel Gamma is working with are legally bound to the physical asset.
Right. But what is the actual mechanism binding them? Like, a computer file tied to a brick wall.
The mechanism is a legal wrapper recognized by the jurisdiction.
A legal wrapper?
Yeah. Typically, the physical property is placed into a legal entity, like a special purpose vehicle, an SPV, or a trust. And that entity holds the actual paper deed.
Oh, I see.
The digital tokens are then legally recognized as shares or ownership stakes in that specific entity.
Okay, so they own the company that owns the building.
Precisely. So, to answer your scenario, if the guy changes the locks, you don't use code to evict him. You use the local police and the local court system.
Because the local court system recognizes your digital token as a valid legal claim.
Exactly. The blockchain acts as an immutable real-time capitalization table for that legal entity.
Ah, I see. So the token is essentially an unforgeable, hyper-efficient digital deed that is recognized by the state.
That is exactly what it is.
And that completely changes the math for everyday investors. I mean, have you ever walked past a massive commercial development, like a high-end retail space, and thought, wow, I'd love to invest in that?
Most people have, yeah.
Right. But you can't because you don't have $20 million sitting in a checking account.
Not many people do.
So fractional ownership, backed by legally recognized real-world assets, fundamentally democratizes that access. You can literally buy a token representing 1/10,000th of that prime real estate.
Precisely. And, you know, it is equally transformative for the developers on the other side of the equation. Well, the source notes that this improves capital formation and project financing. Instead of a developer begging a single mega bank for a massive high-interest loan to build a high-rise.
Which takes months to negotiate.
Exactly. Instead of doing that, they can tokenize the project and crowdsource the capital globally from thousands of investors almost instantly.
Oh, wow. But here's the catch. That SPV structure, that legal wrapper linking the code to the physical building, it only works if the local government and legal system actually agree to recognize it.
That is the crucial dependency, yeah.
Right, because if they don't, you just own a useless piece of code. And that brings us to the core of today's source material. Osul Goma hasn't just decided to launch a token out of a garage somewhere.
No, definitely not.
They have been officially selected to enter the Real Estate General Authority's regulatory sandbox in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. And understanding the function of a regulatory sandbox is vital here. It is essentially an isolated financial biosphere.
A biosphere. That is a great way to look at it. Because, you know, you hear the word sandbox and you might think of kids playing with buckets and shovels.
Right. It sounds very playful.
But in finance, this is a highly controlled, high-stakes quarantine zone. I kept thinking of it like a crash test facility.
A crash test facility.
Yeah. Like, you don't just design a brand new car and immediately sell it to families. You put it on a test track. You crash it into a wall to make sure the airbags work before you put it on public roads.
That is a perfect analogy. You have to find the breaking points safely.
Exactly. If you are inventing a fundamentally new way to transact millions of dollars of real estate, you do not just unleash it on the public markets where a single coding error could literally wipe out people's life savings.
That would be catastrophic.
So you put the company in a closed environment. You let them run real transactions under the absolute granular supervision of government regulators.
And the goals outlined for this specific Saudi sandbox are incredibly rigorous.
What exactly are they looking for?
Well, they are evaluating the actual mechanisms of asset conversion. They are testing what happens if a digital wallet holding a property deed is compromised. They are mapping out dispute resolution.
So they are planning for the worst case scenarios.
Exactly. The primary directive is to protect investors while finding a way to safely deploy this technology. The text summarizes this mandate beautifully. It says, innovate boldly. Regulate intelligently.
Innovate boldly. Regulate intelligently. It is a powerful mandate. But I have to ask you, and I feel like this is a massive point of friction in the broader tech space.
Mm-hmm.
Why is a blockchain company actively volunteering to step into a strict government quarantine zone?
What do you mean?
Well, the entire original ethos of blockchain and distributed ledgers was about bypassing central authorities. It was about bypassing governments and creating trustless systems. Why on earth is Osul Goma begging for government supervision?
What's fascinating here is that you are pointing out the exact necessary evolution of this technology. Yes. If it is ever going to handle trillions of dollars in traditional assets, it has to evolve. The early cypherpunk origins of blockchain were absolutely about operating outside the system. But to tokenize a physical skyscraper, you have to integrate with the system.
Because the skyscraper physically exists inside a city.
Exactly. You cannot run a global real estate market on anonymous vibes. For institutional capital like pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, major banks to actually participate, regulatory confidence is an absolute prerequisite.
Oh, because institutional money requires a legal mandate. They need to know the asset is fully compliant before they allocate $1 billion to it.
Exactly. This is why the source specifically emphasizes that Osul Gemma's selection signals confidence in their compliance readiness.
So they want to follow the rules.
They aren't trying to bypass the rules. They are collaborating with the government to write the new rules. They are attempting to prove that blockchain can actually be the most compliant, transparent, and easily audited financial system regulators have ever seen.
Because every transaction is permanently recorded and timestamped.
Mathematically verifiable, yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We understand the tokenization mechanics. And we understand the necessity of this regulatory sandbox. But we have to ask, why Saudi Arabia?
That's a great question.
Right. Why is this massive state-sponsored push happening there right now instead of in traditional financial hubs like, you know, New York, London, or Silicon Valley? The source material places this entire initiative squarely within the context of Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030.
Which is the macro context we absolutely cannot ignore. Vision 2030 is a comprehensive national roadmap designed to diversify the kingdom's economy and fundamentally modernize its infrastructure.
The massive pillar of that is accelerating digital transformation.
Yes.
And when you look at the scale of what they are attempting, it is breathtaking. This is not just some pilot program to digitize a local county clerk's filing cabinet. This is a coordinated effort to redesign an entire national financial ecosystem from the ground up.
It is incredibly ambitious.
It is. So I look at this and I wonder, are they doing this just because it is more efficient, or is there a real strategic advantage to building this before the legacy financial capitals do?
Pat, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it is very much a strategic advantage. It relies on a concept called leapfrogging.
Leapfrogging, like the game.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Think about how certain developing nations completely skipped the costly, decades-long process of laying copper telephone wires across their entire countries.
Right, they just didn't build landlines.
Exactly. Instead, they jumped straight to building mobile cell tower networks. They leapfrogged an entire generation of legacy technology.
Oh, wow. Okay, so where are you going with this?
Saudi Arabia is attempting to do the exact same thing, but with financial infrastructure. By embracing tokenization at the state level now, they are bypassing the bloated, centuries-old legacy systems of paper deeds, correspondent banks, and localized escrow agents that currently bog down Western real estate markets.
That makes perfect sense. They are building a digital-first asset ledger while everyone else is still, like, arguing about how to scan paper documents into PDFs.
Exactly. And the source explicitly notes that this modernization is designed to unlock cross-border participation.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about cross-border participation, because we need to explore exactly how code smooths out that international friction, because it is not immediately obvious to most people.
It isn't. No.
Under the traditional system, just imagine a Japanese investor trying to buy equity in a commercial development in Riyadh. The friction is immense.
It's a logistical nightmare.
It really is. You have currency exchange fees. You have correspondent banking delays that can take weeks. You have differing legal jurisdictions, language barriers in the contracts, and you need high-priced local legal representation just to verify the title.
It is just layers upon layers of bureaucracy.
So how does tokenization actually solve that? Does the blockchain somehow rewrite international tax law?
No, it doesn't rewrite the law. What it does is standardize the asset layer itself.
Standardize it how?
Well, with tokenization, the property's compliance requirements, like KYC or know your customer laws and anti-money laundering checks, can be programmed directly into the token's smart contract.
Oh, the rules are built into the code.
Exactly. So the Japanese investor doesn't need to wire fiat currency through three different banks. They can use a stablecoin, like USDC, to purchase the token instantly.
So they just send digital dollars.
Right. And if their digital wallet meets the pre-programmed compliance criteria, the transaction settles globally in seconds, regardless of their physical location.
Wow.
It completely removes the intermediaries. It turns a localized, heavily guarded physical asset into a globally accessible, frictionless commodity.
And that creates a massive aha moment for me. If a real estate asset becomes as liquid and instantly verifiable as a digital token, you're creating entirely new financial utilities.
You really are.
I mean, think about it. If you own a tokenized fraction of a building, and that token has a live, globally recognized market value, you could theoretically use a fraction of a skyscraper as instant collateral to secure a loan.
Or even, down the line, buy a cup of coffee.
Right. You are unlocking dead capital. So what does this all mean, like, for the listener tuning in right now?
It means the entire system is shifting.
Exactly. You listening might not be planning to purchase a fraction of a Saudi commercial high-rise anytime soon, but the mechanics being tested in this sandbox are going to impact you. Because if Osil Gamma gets this right, this is the blueprint.
It absolutely is a proving ground for a future global standard. And to really understand why this model could export so easily to the rest of the world, we have to look at the engine Osil Gamma is utilizing.
The engine.
Yes. The source highlights their focus on smart contract architecture to enable this scalable participation.
Okay, let's dive into smart contract architecture. Now, for a highly informed audience, we don't need the basic, it's like a digital vending machine analogy. We know it is self-executing code. But how does a smart contract specifically interact with and replace the dense legal reality of real estate?
Think of a smart contract in this context as a self-executing escrow vault built out of digital dominoes.
Digital dominoes.
Okay.
In a traditional real estate transaction, an escrow company sits right in the middle. They manually verify that the buyer's funds have cleared. They manually verify with the title company that the deed is clean.
Right.
And then human beings literally sign off to release the funds and transfer the ownership. It takes weeks and costs thousands of dollars in fees.
Right. It is a very manual, human-driven chain of trust.
A smart contract replaces that entire human chain with deterministic code. The logic is hard-coded into the network.
So no human opinions?
None. The code says, if Wallet A deposits the exact required funds, and if Wallet A passes the automated cryptographic KYC check, then Wallet B automatically releases the tokenized deed.
It's amazing.
The money hitting the account physically knocks over the compliance domino, which instantly knocks over the deed transfer domino. There are no human hands involved to delay the process, charge a fee, or make a clerical error.
And because it is deployed on a blockchain, the entire sequence is visible, transparent, and mathematically unchangeable.
Which is exactly what regulators in the sandbox want to see. It is verifiable trust.
Verifiable trust. That is a great phrase.
It is the operational model that inherently enhances investor trust and robust governance, which the source identifies as a primary goal.
Yeah.
The implications here are just profound, because this is no longer theoretical whiteboarding. Osil Gamma is actively building, testing, and refining this framework under the strict gaze of a national government.
They're doing it right now.
Yes, and if they successfully demonstrate that this smart contract architecture can safely and compliantly handle real-world real estate transactions at scale, there is zero reason this exact infrastructure won't eventually be adopted in London, Tokyo, or New York.
The efficiency gains are simply too massive for global markets to ignore.
It is the ultimate proof of concept.
Wow. Okay. We have covered a tremendous amount of ground today. We started with the fundamental challenge of liquidity taking the heavy, immovable boulder of traditional real estate and using tokenization to liquefy its equity into fluid, tradable digital assets.
The RWA connection.
Right. We examined how real-world asset wrappers bridge the gap between cryptographic code and physical legal deeds. We stepped inside the regulatory sandbox, exploring why a controlled, state-supervised quarantine zone is absolutely necessary to win the institutional trust required for mass adoption.
In the Saudi context.
Yes. We zoomed out to the sheer ambition of Saudi Vision 2030, looking at how the kingdom is leapfrogging legacy systems to attract frictionless cross-border capital. And finally, we broke down how Osil Gamma's smart contract architecture, those self-executing digital dominoes, are currently being tested to replace slow, expensive human escrow with instant, transparent logic.
It is a remarkable technological and financial shift. But as we wrap up, this raises a really important question for me.
Oh.
Yeah. It builds directly on the source's mention of governance and the physical reality of real-world assets. We have talked at length about how tokenization democratizes ownership and solves financial friction. But I want to leave the listener with a scenario to ponder.
I love a good thought experiment. What do you have?
Let's say a single physical apartment building in a major city is successfully tokenized. the financial friction is completely gone.
Sounds great.
It does. But now, instead of one traditional owner, that building is owned by 5,000 different people scattered across the globe, all holding fractions of a digital token in their wallets.
Okay. 5,000 decentralized global owners.
What happens to the fundamental concept of the landlord?
Oh.
Right. If the physical roof of that building starts leaking in the real world, how do 5,000 digital owners spread across 20 different time zones vote on paying for the repairs?
Oh, wow.
Who is authorized to hire the plumber? If a tenant has a noise complaint at 2 a.m., who do they call?
Oh, man. You solve the financial friction, but you introduce a monumental human coordination problem.
Exactly. When you tokenize a physical space, you don't just upgrade the financial mechanics. You completely upend the sociology of how we manage the physical spaces we live and work in.
That is wild.
The financial and legal tech is being actively solved in the sandbox right now by companies like Osul Gamma. But the human governance of these spaces, that is an entirely new frontier we're going to have to navigate as this technology scales.
That is wild. 5,000 landlords for one building. It completely shatters the traditional model of property management. I want you, the listener, to really mull that over. How do we govern the spaces we share when ownership is distributed across the internet? Because that is the future we are hurtling toward.
It definitely is.
As always, thank you for taking the time to learn alongside us today. We believe there is immense value in taking these deep dives into the source material, looking past the surface level headlines, and really understanding the mechanics of tomorrow. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.